The sports site Bleacher Report describes football coaches hustling around like Christmas shoppers on Christmas Eve, you know, looking for last-minute finds. That's because tomorrow, February 3rd, is known as National Signing Day, when the country's top high school football players reveal their school choice. It's a huge day in the college football world. It's televised live in parts of the country. There are analysts and publications devoted to documenting the strengths and weaknesses of every teenage player in a way that writers like Steve Almond have found distasteful. The University of Michigan's famed coach Jim Harbaugh has been known to sleep over a kid's house, bake him a cake to woo him to the Wolverines. John Bacon is author of End Zone, The Rise, Fall, and Return of Michigan Football. He's at Michigan Radio. John, hi there.
Hello, Robin.
So tell us more about National Signing Day. There are commitments. The kids make commitments. The coaches make commitments. How does it work?
Well, how it's supposed to work or how it really works.
Right.
It started in 1981 when the powers that be decided that they should all commit on the same day, the players to the teams and the teams to the players. So until tomorrow, you're engaged, but you're not married.
Right. But tell us more about that, because you can be committed to someone, but then you can decommit.
Exactly right. Look, the commitment is as good as your word. So you can imagine what happens between college football coaches and 17-year-old phenoms. It gets very messy very quickly. In this cycle alone, friends of mine, Nick Baumgartner at MLive and others have dug this up, more than 300 top commits have already flipped from one school to another. And in the Big Ten alone, which is considered one of the cleaner of the conferences, every single Big Ten school out of 14 Big Ten schools have all made more than 100 commitments to recruits, and none of them have more than 25 scholarships, so you can see the problem.
Right. And, you know, if people are trying to picture it, it's like the NFL draft when the pros draft college football players. That's a huge event as well, televised live, gets lots of attention. But these are kids. These are high school kids.
They're high school kids. They're 17 years old. They're not going to get paid officially, of course. That's, the idea is they're not unofficially either, of course. They're not really in control of a lot of this. However, I will say this, that when you're a hotshot college senior, you go to the team that you want to go to least, probably the worst one in the league. When you're a hotshot high school senior, you have most of the power in this equation. You get to pick where you want to go. The flip side is, in the NFL, everybody gets only one first round picked. But in college football, Alabama, they can get five first-rounders. They get to keep them all. So that changes things quite a bit.
Right. So talk about the things that coaches do. Again, because this isn't like a draft where you get a certain level of person to choose from. This is, as you said, wide open. So talk about what coaches do. Is it true that Harbaugh goes and sleeps on players' couches?
I think he's done that once, a sleepover. He has baked a kid a cake, as you noted earlier. He even climbed a tree at one point. And, of course, this ticks off the other coaches in the Southeast and elsewhere who don't like Jim getting all this attention. So you can count, Robin, probably next week on the NCAA passing rule saying no coach can climb any tree higher than 5 feet.
To get them. But why is he doing it? To keep the other coaches away? To try to really woo the young person he's going after? And, by the way, might decommit from if he finds somebody better?
All true, of course. Why he does it, of course, one of his phrases is from his dad, attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. I will say that Jim does, in fact, do all that. And, Robin, in the interest of full disclosure, I grew up with Jim. We're the same age. We both grew up in Ann Arbor.
Huh.
I played baseball against him. I played hockey with him one glorious season. One of us is a really great athlete. I won't tell you. I won't tell you who until you buy the book. But so I come to us perhaps with some bias. Nonetheless, one of Jim's, I think, saving graces here is that his enthusiasm is, in fact, authentic. I've never seen him do anything for tweets. He rubs some people the wrong way, and he's often been a lightning rod throughout his life and career. But I do believe that the man is sincere.
Well, and has he been the savior of the football program at Michigan football?
Well, you and I joked about this about a year and a half ago when Harbaugh was a candidate. And I said at the time, Robin, that if he went to the New York Jets or the Chicago Bears or another NFL team, he'd be received as a great coach and be a millionaire. If he came back to Ann Arbor, he'd be received as a savior. And, Robin, it turns out I was lowballing my estimate. The Messiah is here.
Okay. But, you know, you mentioned your connection to him growing up with him, which is fascinating, which is why we think people should read your book, The Rise, Fall, and Return of Michigan Football. But what is Derek Jeter's connection? He's the, you know, New York Yankee, former New York Yankee, future Hall of Famer. He has a website. What's his connection?
A few connections, surprisingly. He was born and raised in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And yes, that is a real town, people. And he was, in fact, a Michigan baseball recruit and on campus, I believe, for about 2 or 3 weeks before the Yankees dangled more money, of course, than any college team can. So he's off for the Yankees. But he stayed in touch with Michigan. He's often on the sidelines during games. And he and Harbaugh become good friends over the years.
Okay, so you can maybe check out his website as well. Just briefly, we've got just a couple seconds here, John. You know, people worry about these kids, that there's just too much focus on them too soon. Your thoughts?
Undeniably. And this whole year-round process is not driven by the players. It's driven by ESPN. It's driven by the blogs, the sports talk radio, who have to keep college football going as a full-time year-round exercise. It's not good for the kids.
Well, it's going on tomorrow, signing day. John Bacon, author of End Zone, The Rise, Fall, and Return of Michigan Football. We talked to him about all things college football. John, thank you.
Robin, thank you.